Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I hope you're having a great Tuesday morning. Pastor Jeff Shreve here from Texarkana, Texas. I wanted to read to you from Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. It says, "For even though they knew God..." And knew is used in a way, know about, not in a personal relationship. "Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools," literally morons, "and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over." And he gives them over three times in Romans chapter 1. Gives them over to the lust of the flesh, gives them over to degrading passions, homosexuality, and then he gives them over to a reprobate, depraved mind, a mind that no longer functions, a mind that no longer works. Well, yesterday was the kickoff to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. And I can't help but think of Romans 1 when I see that. I think it was John MacArthur that said the Democratic platform is written straight out of Romans 1. It's the sins of Romans 1 that they have incorporated into their platform and their agenda for America. It is sad and sick to see it. It is hard to watch. And so to discuss what happened last night, and it goes on till Thursday, but to help me in this discussion is my good friend Dr. Rick Scarborough, the president of Recover America. Rick loves the Lord, and he loves America, and he works tirelessly to get pastors and Christians involved in registering to vote and in voting and in voting for biblical values. So, Dr. Rick, welcome to the program today.
Well, it's a joy to be with you, and now, I thank God for a pastor with courage. There's not enough of you, Pastor Jeff, but I'm at your service anytime, because the reason America's in the mess she's in is because the church has turned a deaf ear to the political world as if it were something demonic and untouchable, and that's because so many pastors have embraced that idea. But thank God you preach the gospel. St. Augustine said the gospel is not the gospel if it's not asserted and applied to the things that people are talking about in the public square. You do, and I'm grateful for you.
Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Yeah, Rick, why do you think it is that so many pastors shy away from these things? You know, we've talked before on the program, you and I have talked, politics and morality have obviously intersected. Issues like abortion, issues like transgenderism that's destroying young kids, I mean, right out of the starting gate, they're being destroyed. You know, so many issues that have moral implications, and pastors want to stay away from that and act like, hey, it doesn't really matter if you vote Democrat, you vote Republican, that's fine. Our kingdom, God's kingdom's not of this world. Why do you think they don't see the connection?
Well, I've watched this, as you know, Pastor Jeff, since 1969 when I surrendered to ministry. I had my first church in 1972. I went to Southwestern Seminary and God opened the door for me to pastor a small country church, a little town called Maypearl, Texas, about 45 miles south of Fort Worth. And like every pastor, in the very first church, I ran into a major controversy. That's the nature of church work. In that case, and this is in the early 70s, I had a board of deacons that I didn't discover until my second year there were racist. They didn't believe blacks should be allowed in the church. They didn't want blacks in the community to come near their church. And we had a revival, and God saved a bunch of young people, including the star basketball player who was a black athlete who wanted to join our church, wanted to be baptized, like all the other kids that had been saved. Boy, when I put that young man and his sister before our church for a vote, it nearly split the church. There was an immediate reaction. And here's, I'll make this point short because it can, I can digress and talk about this at length. But as a result of that incident, I ended up leaving that church and becoming a full-time evangelist, a successful pastor who baptized over 100 people in 2 years' time. But I started traveling and speaking, and I observed this. I've watched it happen. Pastors who confront the status quo, they tend to have a lot of blowback until they get to a certain stature. I mean, you've reached that stature where their life has proven itself, and even those who hate them won't come out against them because the pastor walks faithfully with God, and God faithfully defends and protects the pastor. But in those early days, pastors have a choice. Am I on God's team or am I on Satan's team? And that's the only two choices, by the way, there are. And they notice that those who go along get along better. Those who confront those issues wind up having to leave because there's such controversy often surrounding those issues. And so what happens over time is these pastors who, young in life, but charge hell with a water pistol, finally decide that it's safer if they just avoid certain topics, and among which are politics. And now we have a nation that literally is being swallowed up by evil, as we saw demonstrated last night at the Democratic National Convention, a nation being swallowed by evil because the salt has ceased to be salt and lost its savor, and the light has been tucked away under a lampstand and can no longer shed light as it was intended.
That's well put. So you watched the, did you watch the entirety of the convention last night?
Listen, I alluded to the fact that that I'm 74 years old. I couldn't make it. I mean, about halfway through the president's speech, which became increasingly predictable, I said to my wife, you know, I'll read about it in the morning. So I went to bed. And by the way, you know, it says everything the way they treated Joe Biden leading up to this, and then on his night, which was not intended to be his night, they put him last on the agenda, let all of these nobodies take his time, and by the time he got up before the nation was in bed. It was a sad treatment of a man they claim to love and admire.
Yeah, I have a clip that was on CNN last night. It was from a political strategist and CNN contributor, Scott Jennings. I thought it was pretty insightful. People are living in la-la land if they think that Joe Biden chose to step out of the race on his own accord. He was pressured out, and this is what Scott Jennings had to say.
This is his moment tonight. It's his moment, Scott.
Yeah, Biden is known in his career as being one of the best eulogy givers at funerals. And now they're making him come and give his own career
eulogy. He has files of every eulogy
he's ever given. Now they're making him give his own eulogy at this convention. I mean,
you have to give one. It's best that you get to give your own.
Yeah, I guess. I am anxious to see how they handle it. It's a sticky wicket. I mean, he was bullied out of this race after 52 years of service to the Democratic Party. And it wasn't all about his age. He was unpopular. He was going to lose. It was Afghanistan. It was inflation. It was immigration. And now, and he had to be dragged out by the fingernails. I'm sorry. This is not, so he's not here in a happy moment, okay?
We'll
I know
see.
That
we'll
this yarn that's being spun in this hall, that he was popular and selfless and handing on. No. It is the opposite, and everybody knows it, and yet the Democrats are engaging in this theater of looking into cameras and saying it. So it's not true.
So, Rick, I think about, after I listened to that this morning, I think about a quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn talking about Russia and communism and Marxism, socialism, all that ideology that came and destroyed that country. He said this, and you gotta pay attention to follow him, but, you know, he was a great thinker. We know that they are lying. They know that they are lying. They even know that we know they are lying. We also know that they know they are lying too. They, of course, know that we certainly know. They know we know they are lying too as well, but they are still lying. In our own country, the lie has become not just moral category, but the pillar industry of this country. That seems to describe America today, and especially the left. What do you say about that?
Well, I say this is the most pivotal election of my lifetime. That sounds trite because we always hear that. But what the Democrats have done is they're rolling the dice. They believe that so many Christians will just ignore this election and stay home. They'll be so it'll be so distasteful to them that they'll just wash their hands of it and go to church and sing Kumbaya. And their people, on the other hand, are so motivated to take this nation and turn it into something it was never intended to be that they can win with the lie. They literally are rolling the dice. And the only hope for my children to enjoy freedom and my grandchildren, now I have a great-grandbaby, the only chance for them to enjoy the freedoms that we have celebrated all of our lives, Jeff, is for enough Christians to wake up and show up and take this country back. There is a church in Houston, Texas, with 98,000 members. The leadership has diagnosed that of the 98,000 members, 50,000, now there's children involved in this, obviously, but 50,000 are unregistered and not voting. Mm. That one church alone could turn elections in Harris County, and Harris County turns elections in Texas, and Texas can turn the election in the nation. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, our largest churches, this whole matter has been ignored, and the result has been predictable. And so we have got to do something to wake the church up, allow them to finally take their position on the wall, as Nehemiah did, mm-hmm. and prove that in 52 days, God could restore this country. That's not how many days we've got to the election.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you know, it's amazing to me how Christians kind of divorce where they live in the United States from their Christianity. And, you know, if you're truly a Christian, Jesus is not a part of your life. He's not a tack onto your life. He is your life. I mean, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He's everything and you're a brand new creation. And I was thinking this morning driving in, Rick, you know, Joshua said, you know, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want my house to be following the Lord. I want my community to be following the Lord. I want my my city and my state and my region and my nation to be following the Lord. I live here. And so if you expand out the house, you say, well, how can I not get involved? I have to get involved, and I have to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Caesar wants my vote. And how can I possibly justify sitting this out?
Well, a follower of Jesus can't. A dabbler in Christianity can do that. A lost person can do that. But for the true follower of Jesus, you cannot make that choice. To fail to vote is a sin. The only thing worse than that sin is to vote wrong. Yeah. And you vote wrong by not investigating what the candidates stand for, what the platforms are, and making a righteous decision. We have a responsibility if we're going to enjoy freedom. The famous quote, I think, by John Adams, what did you give us? It might have been Ben Franklin, but one of our founders said, we've given you a republic if you can keep it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we are, Pastor Jeff. We are right now on the threshold of determining if we can keep this constitutional republic where elected officials represent us, because we give them the power by enfranchising them with our votes. Will we do it is a question.
Amen. That's a good question. Well, we're talking to Dr. Rick Scarborough, pastor, author, and the president of Recover America. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are up against a break, but we will be back with more Rick Scarborough talking about what happened last night at the Democratic National Convention.
Now, This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to Dr. Rick Scarborough. We're talking about last night in Chicago at the Democratic National Convention. Rick, I said yesterday on the program that it's telling that Planned Parenthood is there with the DNC and offering free abortions and vasectomies. They want to make sure we don't have any more children and to murder the children that are in the womb. And so what do you see as far as that relationship between Planned Parenthood and the DNC?
Well, it's a remarkable thing we allowed to happen. And I hold Republicans responsible partly for this. The Planned Parenthood, which is an absolute misnomer, it's planned death is what it is. They get $500 million a year from the federal government. That's how they exist. We literally are funding the death of the next generation. And once again, the Democrats are rolling the dice. They believe so many people want to kill babies and have the privilege of killing them and even dissecting them and selling the parts in some cases. A full-term abortion in a growing number of states and advocated by Kamala Harris's choice for VP. That's where the baby emerges alive and then after it breaks through the birthing canal, they either leave it to die on its own or they insert an instrument and kill it after it's been born. That's nothing short of murder according to God's law, but it's going on and we're funding it. We're all guilty to some degree because there are tax dollars that make that a viable industry. We have got to fight with all we've got and not be ashamed of the victories we've won. Well, for 50 years, going back to Roe v. Wade, they were using the courts to twist the Constitution and the law to get to the death of babies. 50 years later, after 50 years of marching and praying and freezing in at sometimes sub-zero weather in Washington, D.C. I made a number of those marches, and I'm sure you have as well. We won. We won at the election. We won at the ballot box. And then the men and women we elected passed laws, duly laws, to reverse or to get the right people on the courts who had a correct view of the Constitution. And then once we achieved the majority, which took over 50 years to accomplish, they turned Roe v. Wade on its head. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, one of the most ardent proponents of abortion our country has ever known on the courts, even she said it was bad law. But now they're lying. They're deceiving. This 30 or this vice presidential candidate, who, by the way, made 30 trips to China, took kids over to China to experience the cultural difference. What does anybody want to go to China for 30 trips? He had his honeymoon over there. He is one of the most pro-abortion governors in America, and now he'll be one of the most pro-abortion VPs, if elected, our country has ever known. These kinds of straight-out twisting of God's law will surely bring a judgment that we will not be proud of. Freedom once lost is never regained, and we're going to lose our freedoms if we allow this travesty to go forward. The Democratic Party is the party of death.
Mm. That's well said. Yeah, it's amazing, and it's I have said before, Rick, if America freely and fairly, those are two key words, freely and fairly chooses to go in this direction with Harris and Walz, I mean, we have put the gun to our own heads. We're basically slitting our wrists. That's just beyond the pale. Why would you do that? Because the results are going to be horrific. And we're all in the same, I mean, we all live in America. We're on the same ship called America. If the thing sinks, we all go down. And it's not going to be pretty. Well, hey, Rick, let me ask you this, because I know you and I have a mutual friend, Bill Federer, and historian Bill Federer, who is second to none in his history. He has been on the program several times, and he said, you know, a tactic out of the playbook of the communist is to accuse your opponent of a crime that you yourself are currently committing. And that happened last night. I want you to hear this from somebody that spoke at the DNC.
Donald Trump would be able to weaponize the Department of Justice to go after his political opponents. He could even turn the FBI into his own personal police force. That is not how it works in America.
That's exactly what Joe Biden has done.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, you could have fooled me. Projection is something that Democrats have mastered. What they accuse you of doing is typically what they're doing. And I'll tell you something, Pastor Jeff. I've spent my whole adult life trying to figure out how to answer being accused of being a Christian nationalist. The founder of the Remnant Alliance, whom I would recommend you have on your program at some point in the future, he was a very wealthy, successful businessman who got tired of everybody coming to him for donations, and most of the groups were doing the same thing, only in small silos. So he took his wealth, he took his business acumen, and created the Remnant Alliance, of which our ministry is a major partner now. But he took on this whole idea of Christian nationalism, and he did it in a profound way. I hesitate to bring it up because that will create a heartache for you, because the left, they'll come after anybody that calls himself a Christian nationalist with a sledgehammer. That's their favorite tool. But he embraced that term. He said, what could be wrong with wanting a Christian country? Even the most wicked member of our society, if he's not breaking any laws, is protected by a society that's ruled by law, that knows where the boundaries are. Mm-hmm. And he goes point by point in a 20-minute interview with defining who he is and what our organization stands for. And he basically says, call us a Christian nationalist. We want to save our nation. What's wrong with that? And you see, they have twisted that into something wrong. But the truth of the matter is, believers need to quit spending all of our time trying to dodge bullets and stand up boldly like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and like Daniel, and like so many in the Bible, take on the political structures of our day, and if necessary, take a bullet in the conviction if we die, instant death, instant glory, but also instant opportunity for God to prove that he's God. And he will always protect those who stand on his truth.
Amen. That's a good word. Yeah, I've said from the pulpit, Rick, that we have to be willing as good soldiers of Christ Jesus, as Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And we put on the full armor of God as we do battle. But we have to be willing to lose friends, to lose our job if they start putting the screws to us. I have a good friend, former chairman of the deacons at First Baptist, is who's an OB-GYN, and he said, you know, there could come a time where they force me to do abortions, and if that's the case, I'm going to have to bow out. So you could lose your job, you could lose your freedom, and they arrest you, or you could lose your life. And a Christian has to be thinking along the lines of, my allegiance is to Jesus and the Word of God and to be a faithful witness. Rick, as you travel around, do you think that kind of mindset is starting to gain traction in the Christian community?
Yes. I am more hopeful today than I've been in many, many years. Younger in this ministry, I believe I was going to change the world, and I had the message, and we're going to see the sweep and revival. Well, that revival hasn't come, but I'm beginning now to see the birth pains of revival. We just concluded a major gathering in Frisco, Texas. 255 pastors and their spouses gathered in a room for 3 days of lectures by some of the great Christian experts in their chosen fields. And at the end, I gave the concluding message with an altar call. Will you stand with us, even if it costs you your job, your life, your reputation? Will you stand with truth? And I'm here to declare than like on so many occasions that I've seen over the last couple of years. Almost to the man, those pastors walked forward, many of them weeping, and they signed what we call the muster roll after the founders, when they called farmers to go to war. They signed a muster roll. They said, count on me. We are seeing a growing army unfold of pastors who are standing up and saying, you can count on me. I'll have your back. And God, I am going to stand with you no matter what the cost. So, yes, I am seeing the sprinklings, the birth pains of a coming revival of Jesus tarries.
Amen. Well, Rick, you're going to be here at First Baptist Texarkana for breakfast on Thursday, September 12th for pastors and church leaders, and they're invited. We have a breakfast, and then we're going to be sharing. And so what the purpose of that gathering is what?
Basically what I just described. These are gatherings we're having all over the country now where we're laying out before these pastors what the cost is. I will say to those pastors, as I say every week somewhere, today is the day you determine whose team you're on. Mm-hmm. Many of you started this journey willing to charge hell with a water pistol. But after being slapped around by a few deacon bodies or a few elder boards, some of you have softened your stance and even pulled back. Well, this is the day where you come back and say, God, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. Whatever it costs, I'll stand. And boy, I want to encourage pastors listening, anyone within 200 miles of First Baptist Church, Texarkana, to gather up a couple of your leaders and come and join us. If we have to give up my meal, and this is saying a lot, if I have to give up my breakfast so that you can be fed, I'll give it. So you come.
I love that. Well, yeah, I encourage the guys to come, and we're going to have a great time, and we're just going to be encouraged. You know, here's the thing, Rick, and one of the things I love talking to you about is just you're a bold witness for Jesus. You're willing to stand up and get shot at, so to speak, and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. The Lord's called us to be faithful. He controls the outcome of things. We don't control that, but we do have the chance to take a step out of the boat, to walk on the water with Jesus, and to be faithful until he comes again. As Jesus told in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And so that is our mandate from our Savior and from our King. And so I'm glad that you're seeing more and more of that around the country. And tell us where you're going to be next before you come to Texarkana.
Well, I have to look over my calendar page. I've got a number of events coming up over the next 2 weeks before I get there. Some of them are with Republican clubs that have asked me to come and share our story. Others of them are large gatherings. We've got a big gathering coming up before I get to your place right here in Houston at Glorious Way Church. We're hoping to have 500 or 600 people for a rally there, but we are somewhere every week speaking, telling the message, and recruiting more pastors to stand up, speak up, and refuse to give up.
Amen. That was, just to correct myself, it was Revelation 2:10, not Revelation 3:10. It's the message to the church in Smyrna. Rick, what would you say concerning the Republican ticket as far as, you know, there's a lot of talk right now, evangelicals for Harris, and they try and say she's a faithful Christian. My view has been, I don't think we have any true born-again Christians that are in the race. What would you say about the Republican ticket as it relates to Christianity?
Well, we need to all continue to pray for Trump. He had some type of an experience. He wasn't converted, I don't believe. But when that bullet whizzed through his ear and blood shot out, and he recognized as he processed that, how close he came to dying, even this arrogant, brash guy that I think could win in a landslide if he'd moderate some of the things he says.
Yes.
Even he got up and said, this was divine intervention. I always put the graphic on this side, but this time I put it on that side. I always talk about it at the end. This time I talk about it at the beginning. He recognized there was someone involved bigger than him. Now, Christians all over need to pray and double down that God would put in his life true believers. Mike Huckabee is a friend of both of ours. I've known Mike since seminary days, and he has access to the president. He is a committed born-again Baptist preacher turned elected official. People like that have got to be talking to this man and bring him to a faith in Christ. Now, a Yelly, that's a little harder. Somebody who's gone all the way through our educational systems has a lot more to unlearn, and that's the case with our vice presidential candidate on the Republican side. But nothing's too hard for God. Mm-hmm. Saul of Tarsus was a brilliant man. He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel and knew his stuff. And I'm telling you, God brought him to his knees and saved him. He became the great Paul of the Apostle. America needs a Paul kind of a conversion of Donald Trump, because he could save not only this nation, but set back at least a generation in the second coming so that more souls could be swept in. Now, don't misunderstand. I want Jesus to come. I want him to come now.
Right.
But if he comes right now, a lot of my good friends are going to be lost.
Right.
I want a little more time for soul winning. And
right.
By the way, Pastor Jeff, something we've learned, you know, the Bible says many preachers are lost. Just straight
yes.
out says it. Jesus speaking. They
yes.
come and they preach and they pray. And so we started giving a gospel invitation everywhere we speak.
Amen.
And we've had one or two cases where no one was saved. But we're having 10 and 12 and sometimes just one or two, but key leaders in a community confess.
Rick, I got to break in. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Rick Scarborough, a pastor, author, and president of Recover America. And we're going to go to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. And Rick's going to stay on and help me with these questions. But feel free to call in. The phone lines are open, and it would be a joy for us to get to talk to you. Rick, so paint a picture. You know, the left is painting this horrific picture that if Donald Trump gets elected, that, you know, the country is doomed and over. I find that so hard to believe, since the guy was president for 4 years and none of those doom and gloom predictions materialized. What do you see happening in America if, by God's grace, he got reelected?
Boy, I thought you were going a different direction. So you're asking me what I see happening if Trump gets elected?
Yes.
I think you're going to see a lot of these IRS agents who have been hired to go after the church and outspoken Christians like yourself be redirected, if not released, I think you're going to see a country begin to explode with a renaissance in terms of our wealth just by doing the three words he's repeated over again, drill, drill, drill. Mm-hmm. We are living in the tyranny of being dependent upon foreign adversaries for energy. They've been destroying the oil and gas industry now for the last 3.5 years and wonder why everything is shooting up in price. I find it interesting when polling data is taken now, the new Green Deal is at the bottom of the list of people's priorities, but it's been at the top of the list for the last 3.5, almost 4 years. So what you'll see is you'll see President Trump, a businessman, he'll remove the shackles from our oil and gas industry. He will turn them loose, and this will result in lower food prices, less expense in producing the food. You'll see our trucks driving up and down, buying cheap diesel to move the goods. I think you'll see our economy explode. That's what I think.
How do you think that'll affect law enforcement in America?
We're going to have a lot of work to be done there. 11 million known foreigners allowed into this country without documentation in many cases. About 100, I want to say 1,000, I'm getting confused, but way too many terrorists, known terrorists that have gotten into the country, but we don't know how many unknown terrorists have entered because terrorists don't want to be detected. And so there could be hundreds and hundreds of men committed to terrorizing communities and gatherings in our country. We've got our work to be done. Now, what Trump will do, he'll strengthen, he'll renew the love affair that average Americans have with their police officers who are public servants. Mm-hmm. He will empower the National Guard and others to bring law and order to communities that are ravaged right now by crime. I think you'll see this country make a complete turnaround, and if preachers just finally do their part and engage, you'll begin to see people walking the aisles of our churches, coming back to church. The COVID virus sent people home to online worship, and many of them never came back. But I think you'll see a return to the growth of the church if Trump and Vance are elected.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, we have, as we go to the phone lines, we have Ann on the line from Mississippi. Ann, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Jeff. I'm just concerned. Our pastor, he's a wonderful pastor, but he just doesn't seem to take a stand. And I don't think it's not that he's wanting to not rock the boat. I think maybe he might think that we need to kind of stay out of it. And I don't know, but I'm just going to have to get on my hands and knees and prostrate. I mean, flat out on the floor, I mean, and pray and weep to God because I want him to take a stand, but I don't know how to spur him on. And I'm a woman. Am I supposed to keep my mouth shut? Oh.
Mm, good question. Rick, what do you say to that?
I would say, dear lady, pray about it first. Determine in your heart and mind what it is that God would have you say, and then schedule an appointment with your pastor and share with him what you just shared with Pastor Jeff and myself. A lot of these guys are getting slapped around by powerful people in their congregations that you know nothing about. I can remember one man in a church I pastored for 12 years whispering things in my ears. He left on Sunday morning because he hated me. Now, everybody else thought he was saying, good sermon, Pastor. We love you, Pastor. We're praying for you, Pastor. But he was saying some of the most demonic things to me Sunday after Sunday. Who knows what's really going on in the life of that pastor? He needs to know you love him, you support him, you'll even help him. You'll volunteer and take that very direct approach after praying about it. But don't give up and don't be hopeless.
Mm, good word. Yeah. Romans 15:13, Ann, is such a great verse. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So may God bless you as you pray through that and as you go talk to him and encourage him to take a strong stand. Well, we have John on the line from Texas. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Wow. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
You got a great witness on the line with you there.
Yeah.
He comes from your home territory.
Yeah, he does.
People don't know that you were cheating when you came up because you were at Champion Forest. And I say that lovingly, and getting to see the Pyre team and take my youth there, and you couldn't have been in a better place.
No, it was a great opportunity, and that was home base for a long, long time, and DeMond Shook ministered to me in great, great ways.
Well, great man. I've been listening to y'all for a while. I still listen to my other main station here in Houston, of course, but God gave me what might be a pretty big idea the other day, and I just, when I heard you had Rick Scarborough on there, we need to get someone to tack on to their monthly statement, you know, their credit report or whatever they're doing, a green room witness sheet, and put that at the end of everything and make it a fold out and give it to us turkeys that are on the street out here, and we can put it in every green room that there is one, you know, at Channel 11, Channel 2, Channel 13. I've worked in all those places, and they have a green room. Well, we got all these high-powered preachers supposedly sitting in the green room waiting on a chance to talk. They need to be talking to somebody. And maybe if we put a sheet of paper in there encouraging them to go after them with the gospel, it might happen. What do you think?
Rick, what do you think of that?
I think he needs to get in touch with my office so we can discuss this. I'm open to any idea that might open the door to preach or share the gospel. So I'm in Houston where you are. Maybe we can have lunch together, but get in touch with my office. The Cover America. May I give the number? Do you mind?
No, that's fine.
Jeff, 936-615-7020. That's my assistant's phone number. And Nicole's. It's 936-615-7020. Let's talk about this.
All right. There you go, John. And so maybe you guys can get together and come up with a plan. Well, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. We have Dwight on the line from Texas. Dwight, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I really appreciate your work and your political backing up of this situation. We've got a really, really rough time in these days ahead of us. And I think back of the Black Robe Regiment, the one that the Redcoats feared so much in the Revolutionary War,
mm-hmm.
who got up there in their black robes and stood before their congregation, and when they're done preaching, they took off that black robe and revealed their uniforms and took off to support General Washington and go into battle. And I think that's what our evangelical teachers need to be doing, is take off those black robes and get out there and fight.
Yeah, that's a good word, Dwight, for sure. Rick, did you read Eric Metaxas's book, Letter to the American Church?
I saw a brief summation of it on a tape at a conference recently. But I have not yet read the book, I'm ashamed to say.
Well, you know, he basically makes the case that we're following in the footsteps of Germany's pastors who didn't want to get involved, right. who sat on the sidelines. And he said, that's the formula for disaster. You just can't do that. You have to stand up and be counted. And it kind of goes along the lines of what Dwight just said about the Black Robe Regiment.
Right.
You know, Rick, we see guys like Tucker Carlson or Glenn Beck, you know, they stand up and they speak boldly about issues, and we're cheering them on. They're taking all the heat. I heard one of those guys or somebody along those same lines of those guys saying, hey, why don't you guys, speaking to pastors, why don't you stand up? Why don't you take the heat? Why don't you speak boldly about this? You know, it's easy to cheer the person you're pushing out front because you're not getting shot at. But we desperately need some courageous pastors in America today to stand up and speak up regardless of the cost.
And Pastor Jeff, when we come to Texarkana next month, I hope we have 100 pastors and leaders in the room, because one thing we do through the Remnant Alliance is we have a team of lawyers that have yet to lose a case. They take on the ACLU and they win every time. And one of the things we say, we will say to those pastors is, get engaged and we'll have your back. We'll take the bullet. If anybody gets sued, it'll be us, because we'll get between you and the offending governmental authority. All we're looking for are our partners in this effort, because it's time for the church to stand up and be heard. It's time for us to once again recognize that every great author in the Old Testament and New Testament, at some point in that document, if it's of any length at all, they're engaging with the governmental authorities of their day. Isaiah was engaged in taking on the governmental authorities and powers of his day. Elijah, all these guys,
right.
They were standing up against the tide. It's time now for we pastors to follow the example of those who wrote the book from which we say we hold our faith.
Yes, good word for sure. Dwight, thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. We have Mark on the line from Arkansas. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Well, I think he pretty well did a good job on that. I was just going to say pretty much the same thing. Politics and religion, it's together. This is a nation founded under God. God installs all governments. And God expects us, because we have this free nation, of course I've said the same thing before, he gives us the right to vote and put Christian people in office. And we have failed to do that. We have put heathens in the office and sat back and not checked their background out to find out their beliefs. And so we got what we got. We sat back and let the godless run the country.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Rick. A lot of Christians don't want to get involved in politics because it's playing in the mud. What do you say to that?
Well, Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals, in which Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton both dedicated much of their life and career to, one of his chief platitudes, and by the way, I recommend Christians read the book because his rules work, but they're satanic. The
right.
whole book was dedicated to Lucifer, the world's first organizer. His primary thesis was humiliate, embarrass, accuse, project on your enemies what you want to happen and make them go on the defensive. And that's exactly where the church is now. We have succumbed to a book inspired by Satan. It's time we get inspired by the book that was we get dedicated to living out what's taught in the book inspired by our Savior. It's time we get back to being who we are. And that's to stand up, speak up, and refuse to give up.
Amen. Good word. Well, Rick, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's always a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to September 12th, 8:30 in the morning at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And where can they go to sign up and register for that, Rick?
Just pick up the phone and call my assistant. She's taking registrations. Her name is Nicole. You can reach her by email at nicole@recoveramerica.com, or you can call her at 936-615-7020. That's her personal cell phone. We'd love to see you guys there.
All right. Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate you. I appreciate your work. I appreciate your boldness for the gospel. Well, thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. Share this with somebody and seriously consider pastors, church leaders, if you're in the Texarkana area, if you can make it, come and join us on September 12th at 8:30 in the morning. We would be glad to welcome you. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.